Lord Jesus Christ, you are so wonderful. You're so wonderful, Lord, and I just enjoy knowing you every day more and more, watching you work in me. You are truly alive. You are truly alive, and I know it personally, Lord. I know it personally, and I pray that anyone listening, that they would too begin to know personally on a day-by-day basis that you are alive in them, working in them progressively, continually. It's not just a nice thing to say, but it's real. The same way that a living being works and moves and dwells, you are living and working and dwelling in me. And I pray that you would work and move and live and dwell. And whoever's listening, that they would receive you and they would seek you and ask to be filled with that presence. Lord, because your presence truly, indeed, is good enough. In your name I praise you, amen. Welcome to Knowing Jesus, and this is Michael Ryan. You can subscribe to these podcasts by going to Michael Ryan's Booze and any iTunes search query, and you should be able to pull me up. The Lord, his presence is good enough. It really is, and I'm going to be jumping around from scriptures, but I just want you to know that his presence is good enough. Whatever you're going through right now, his presence is good enough. How could this Christian walk be useful to you? How can God show his power to you unless he lives in you? Amen? I mean, if you were just supposed to be saved and go live this life on your own, how could you do it? How could you do it? How could you handle your burdens? How could you handle the struggles, your weaknesses, your temptations, your fears, your failures? How can you handle that on your own? And if you have been handling on your own, you know that you can't. And if you are, you're just barely doing it, and you're not happy about it. But friends, let me tell you, he is alive. And moreover, he's alive and working, living in you. And his presence is good enough. It's good enough. David thought so. I mean, David's whole life was about seeking the presence of the Lord because that's all he needed. That's all we need. In Psalm chapter 25, verse 4, he says, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths, lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. And listen, for you I wait all the day." He would base his day on waiting for the presence of the Lord. Excuse me. I mean, how would that benefit your life right now if you can have the presence of the Lord just filled up in you? If you can sense the very living God. I mean, if Jesus Christ was sitting right next to you right now, wouldn't you just be, you wouldn't even be listening to me. You'd be talking to him, wouldn't you? You'd be enjoying him. I'm telling you, he lives in you. And that's your hope. That is your hope. That is your peace and your joy. That's everything. To sit down and commune with God in you and to ask him to reveal and manifest himself living in you, because that's how he is. That's how the Lord is. The Lord reveals himself to those who seek him. He'll come and live in you, but then he'll be, it's almost like he's hidden. It's almost like he's hidden in you. He wants you to seek after him even though he lives in you. Will you do that today? Will you seek after him? I just want to show you that his presence is good enough. In Psalm chapter 26, verse 8, he says, "O Jesus, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells." Because you need that glory. You need to be in his presence, because that's how you really get the abundant life. If you've been a believer for any length of time, you know that simply just believing that you're going to heaven when you die and reading the Bible when you can and going to church is not enough. It's not enough. You still have the burdens, the troubles, the weaknesses, the failures, the fears, the anxieties. This is the fullness of the gospel. Paul preaches of it in Colossians chapter 1. It's Christ living in you through you. I would be so pleased if God was ministering that to you through these podcasts. If he was ministering himself, that he is enough for you. That you don't need to seek after other things. You may think you need everything else. You may think you need this or that to bring you the peace and joy and comfort. But it's really only him you need. That's why Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. That's why he says, your Father will give you the Holy Spirit. He desires to give you the Holy Spirit to fill you up with the presence of himself. And Psalm 27, this is really good. Check this out, in the end of verse 3. Or actually, we can start at verse 3. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. My heart will not fear. And listen, to he goes on, why? The war rise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Why? One thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, in the house of Jesus Christ, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jesus and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. Don't you see, friends? It's the presence of God. Once you get in on that, he does everything for you. See, we try to conceal ourselves. We try to hide ourselves from the pain of our world. We try to lift ourselves up from our struggles and our weaknesses and our fears and our failures and our pain. But does that work? Has that been working for you? Let the glory of Jesus living in you do that. Let him do it. And that same chapter, 27 in the Psalms, is another. There's another verse. Again, the presence of the Lord is good enough for you. I would have despaired. Any of you there right now in despair? Any of you listening have felt despair? Felt stressed and overwhelmed, burdened? Listen to what he's saying. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of Jesus in the land of the living. So he's saying, I would have despaired unless I would see personally for myself the goodness of God right now on earth. Because to know that you're going to see God when you die, that is amazing. That is great. That's good. We should be thankful for that, and we can worship him for that, and that's another way we can enter into his presence, by worshiping and praising him. But to see God now, to experience his presence now, that's what takes away the despair. I'm telling you, friends, try. This has been blessing my life. It's been blessing my life. And I would be so pleased to know that God is using me to give you this message, to bless your life also, to carry the living Savior in you, to say that the Lord is risen is good, but it's not the full message. It's good because the Lord risen is why we know that you're saved, why we know that we are saved. But him living in you, that's where the power comes from. That's where your Christian life gets the abundance. That's where it gets the abundance. And he continues to say in verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for Jesus. If you're going through something right now, if you're burdened, do you know what my advice is to you? Wait for Jesus. Get on your knees and ask, seek, and wait for Jesus to manifest his presence, to show up and fill you. That's it. I don't know what he's going to do, but I can tell you this. I can tell you this, friends, he will do abundantly more than you or I could ask or think if you just wait for him to show up. Please, please, this is real. If you've listened to my podcast for any length of time, you've noticed that I'm continually talking about the power, the living power of the living presence of Jesus in the heart of anyone who believes and trusts in him. This is yours for daily, daily delight. He can be your daily delight. You can know Jesus more today than you did yesterday. And it's not just because you can read his word. Praise God for his word and scripture. But it's because you can personally experience him. And he can personally put thoughts and desires and understanding and wisdom into your brain. He can personally speak to you through his presence. That's real. Wouldn't you want to have that? How would your life be impacted by that? Wouldn't it be changed? Don't you think that that's the abundant life that Jesus was talking about in John chapter 10? That's what we need. The presence of God is enough. I think to Daniel chapter 3, where it talks about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And their faith, they knew the Lord Jesus. And I keep using Jesus and his name and mentioning it when I refer to Old Testament scriptures, because it says that in John 5:39 that they search the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, thinking that they have life, but it's these that testify of me. He says at the end of the Gospel of Luke that he showed his disciples himself, things concerning himself from the scriptures. He is the Old Testament God. And he's the God of the New Testament. He's the eternal God of the universe. And I believe that these three Hebrew boys, they knew the presence of God. Do you know why they knew the presence of God? I can tell you. It's because of what they said to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a king who set up an idol that people had to worship his golden image. They had to bow down when the trumpets and all the instruments would play and worship his image. But these three boys would not do that. The penalty was to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And to burn in fire, it's not good. It's not comfortable. But can I tell you, they understood the presence of God. They knew the presence of the Messiah was so powerful and delightful that they can say to him this. When the king tried to give them another opportunity, in verse 15, to not be subject to the fire, to the furnace, and to be burnt, and to worship. Here's what they said. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. And I believe that he's saying, look, at one point, we're going to die and be with the Lord forever. We're going to be delivered out of your hand no matter what. I believe that. But I believe that they thought that in their heart. But I believe that they're also communicating that he was going to do it. They had the faith to believe Jesus was going to do it right now. But I like what they said. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. The presence of God is enough. The personal presence of him in your life. These boys were able to say, look, king, I'm not concerned about your fire. I'm not. And whether God delivers us or not, we're not going to worship you. Do you know why? Because they understood that whether they were to perish in the fire or whether they weren't to perish in the fire, true living is not circumstances. It's the presence of God. And they knew that they were experiencing the presence of God and they would continue to forever. So they weren't concerned about the circumstances. They weren't concerned about the present dangers around them. And you know what's amazing? He threw him into the fire. It says in verse 23 of chapter 3 in Daniel, "But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up." They were tied and tossed into the fire. But listen to this. "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. He said to his high officials, 'Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?' They replied to the king, 'Certainly, O king.' He said, 'Look, I see four men loose and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods.'" I believe that Jesus was in the fire with them, and that's a pretty blatant teaching from here. But you know what, friends? I believe that Jesus was always in their midst, because in Daniel chapter 1, it says that God gave these four men knowledge and intelligence and every branch of literature and wisdom. In verse 17, it says that. I believe that that was the Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus Christ already was dwelling in them. I believe that this was just a picture of what was already happening, that Jesus was already in their midst. And that's why they didn't care about the danger of the fire. They didn't need God to show them a sign of delivering from the fire, because they were experiencing the sign all day, every day, by worshiping him in his presence. You also, you don't need any other sign than experiencing Jesus right now. And you can do that. You can do that. And what's amazing is that when you begin to experience the presence of God, friends, other people will see it and be blessed. Other people will see it. Do you know Nebuchadnezzar's response to seeing the Son of God in the midst of these people? By seeing the presence of God. He exalted the Lord. It says here in verse 28, Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servant who put their trust in him." I mean, he even changed his whole ideology. He changed his whole system to, anyone who offends this God is going to be torn limb to limb. He was still missing the point. But he got one sense. He got wise. It says in Proverbs, at the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Or I would say the beginning of wisdom is the worship of Jesus Christ, because fear is to be morally reverent and to be worshiping. And the Lord is Jesus. So the beginning of wisdom is to worship the Lord. And I believe that he began to give the Lord a form of worship. Now, we want to worship the Lord in spirit and truth, which is why he eventually ended up having his own problems, and you can read about. But, you know, the presence of Jesus in you is enough. It really is. And I invite you to get in on that abundant life. Don't be stuck and glued in your own sins and imperfections. Just worship the Lord. Just seek and ask for his presence. I believe that when Jesus said to ask, to seek, and to knock, it shall be given to you. Do you know, I believe he was talking about the Holy Spirit. That was the it. Because there is nothing better than the presence of God filling you up. It says in John that he gives the Spirit without measure. There's nothing better than that, friends. Nothing better than the Spirit of God moving, dwelling, and filling you up. Nothing. His presence is enough. Amen. It's going to give you the abundant life. If you haven't been experiencing an abundant life of Jesus Christ, you can have it in a personal way by just asking him to fill you and move in you every day, and progressively know him. And each morning when you wake up, you can call upon the Lord in the afternoon, in the daytime, in the evening, right when you go to bed. You can call upon the Lord and he will fill you with his presence, and he'll bear his fruit in you, and you will have the abundant life, and you will be with him forever. Forever. He is risen indeed. He is alive. And he lives in you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you for teaching us and showing us Jesus through your word. He is the word. He's the author of the word. He is the word. And he's the superstar of the word, Lord. I thank you. Lord, I pray that whoever's listening would just be convicted that you are good enough. You are all that they need in this life. and the next. In your name we praise and worship you. Amen.